pick up our reading of the Holy War. And we take up we just finished reading the four elements which Bunyan described were the what he called the Emmanuel's, the prince's, methods of withdrawing. That was, I thought, a very descriptive, very accurate description of these things. He listed these four things, his methods of withdrawing. And we looked at that on the last time together. Now we pick up, shortly after that, a couple of paragraphs later, with this reading. Thus they walked, man's soul, of course, thus they walked contrary to him. And he again, by way of retaliation, walked contrary to them. But alas, by this time, they were so hardened in their way and had so drunk in the doctrine of Mr. Connell's security that the departing of their prince touched them not, nor was he remembered by them when gone. And so of consequence, its absence not condoled by them. Now that's a sad state. I know. I've been there. I've been able to be so entertained by the world while resting on a carnal security that all is well. And I can tell you that is a terrible state to be in. Almost never is it perceived. And therein lay a great deal of the problem and danger with it, is that it goes unperceived. Now there was a day when this old gentleman, Mr. Carl Security, did again make a feast for the town of Mansoul, and there was at that time in the town one Mr. Godly Fear, one now but little set by, though formerly one of great request. This man, old Carl Security, had a mind, if possible, to gull. That's an old English word. If you want to write a definition, it means to deceive or to cheat. Or to gull. This Mr. Carl Security wanted, if possible, to gull and debauch and abuse as he did the rest. And therefore he now bids him to the feast with his neighbors. Now the word debauch, I know in context you can gather a meaning, but I'll give you a definition, dictionary definition. To debauch is to corrupt, to seduce someone into corruption. So old Carl Security had hoped to gall and to debauch and to abuse this one Mr. Godly Fear. And we're going to read about him again later. I'll read you. But I just want to, let's just pause so that we get a good picture here. Mr. Godly Fear, well, what really is he? I mean, that name, Godly Fear, do you remember? And if you are a Christian, if you've ever been a Christian, you remember a time when you actually feared doing something that would displease them. I don't like the expression hypersensitive, because that typically has a negative connotation. But I do remember times when I have been more sensitive than at other times about godliness, about whether or not I am in fact pleasing the Lord or or more specifically, whether I am displeasing the Lord. That is a very non-technical, non-theological, but practical definition of this mystery of godly fear. A time when the heart is very sensitive to whether or not the Lord is being disobeyed, whether or not he's being offended, whether or not he's displeased. There is this sense of godly fear. And of course it's a fear of God as well. That is the right sense of that word, fear. Reverence, an intense reverence for God. But it's also this sense of not wanting to offend him. Well, so Mr. Godly Fear, this element in the saint, comes under the attention of Mr. Carnal Security. And he would like to drag him in, as it were, to this whole debauched state that man's soul now finds himself in. And so he plans this great feast. And he wants to invite Mr. Godly Fear into it. So he offers to him this speech. Mr. Godly Fear, are you not well? I'm sorry, I skipped over. So he invites him to the feast. So the day being come, they prepare, and he goes and appears with the rest of the guests. Now let me pause there again, hit the pause button again just for a second. Have you ever been somewhere you find well? As a Christian, you knew you were not in the right place. Maybe you just wanted to be there. Maybe you felt a responsibility to be there. I know in my role in management, in dealerships, I have participated in events that I was not comfortable with. I felt I would be better advised not to be there, but I felt wrongly, but I felt at the time that I should be there because of my position. Well, Mr. Godly Fear is there. He did come. But being all set at the table, they did eat and drink and were merry, even all but this one man. For Mr. Godly Fear sat like a stranger, did neither eat nor was merry. He was very out of place. And if you've ever been there, you know how uncomfortable that is. It's not a good thing. And let me just say, you may find yourself there because of jobs. You may find yourself there because of family. Often a family. What you think are family obligations put you in a place that Mr. Godly Fear is quite uncomfortable. To which, when Mr. Carl Security perceived that is, Mr. Godly Fear was not having a good time, was not comfortable, he presently addressed himself in a speech thus to him. Mr. Godly Fear, are you not well? You seem to be ill of body or mind or both. I have a cordial of Mr. Forget Goods making, the which, sir, if you will take a dram of, I hope it will make you bonny and blithe, and so make you more fit for us feasting companions. They're not concerned with his good or his well-being. They're not concerned even with the truth. They're just concerned that he don't throw a damper on their party. You'd be more fit for us as feasting feasting here. Berger said, the fear of God in the heart is placed there to prevent utter apostasy and to detect the carnal security which proves so mischievous. Godly fear cannot enjoy that carnal myrrh which security provides, nor stupefy himself with forget-goods cordial, but boldly remonstrates against that gradual decline in religion which occasioned the Lord to withdraw his gracious presence. Isaac Watts wrote these words, so Samson, when his hair was lost, met the Philistines to his cost, shook his vain limbs with sad surprise, made feeble fight, and lost his eyes. Carnal security is such an enemy to the soul that he should be utterly destroyed. When conscience is roused to oppose this deceitful foe, the business will be done, and measures will be taken to procure, if possible, the return of forfeited blessings. I guarantee you, any real Christian knows they don't need a book, they don't need a tutor, they know when they have compromised their testimony. They know when inside, Mr. Godly Fear is in an awkward place. They don't talk to them. They know it. They have to tell them. They have to preach to them or beat them over the head. They know it. Their hearts. So, Mr. Carl Security makes it his business to try to bring him on board. Unto whom the good old gentleman discreetly replied. Now underline that word. Mr. Godly Fear doesn't come out of the chute like a bull out of a branding chute. He comes out discreetly. The old gentleman discreetly replied, sir, I thank you for all things courteous and civil, but for your cordial, I have no list thereto, but a word to the natives of Mansoul. You, the elders and chief of Mansoul, to me it is strange to see you so jocund, that's the word merry. The word means happy, merry. It is strange to see you so jocund and merry when the town of Mansoul is in such woeful case. Now, understand, this is Bunyan's description of what's going on inside a man's soul. Don't want to lose the picture here that what we're talking about, all these conversations are conversations that can go on in our own hearts, inside our own head and heart. And Mr. Godly Fear is speaking out now to Mansoul and to its leaders and saying, it's amazing to me. Boy, have you ever been in a place like this and Mr. Godly Fear spoke all of a sudden? Oh, what a hard thing that was. You're trying to, it's almost as if you're saying to them, get on these people. Don't be saying stuff. No. But he does say it. He says, it's a hard thing for me to believe that you can be having so much fun around here when you're a mess. Can't tell you how many times I've heard my heart say that. Then said Mr. Carnal Security, you won't sleep good, sir, I doubt. if you please, lie down, take a nap. We, meanwhile, will be married. You must need some sleep. You're a real grouch. Then said the good man as follows, sir, if you are not destitute of an honest heart, you could not do as you have done and as you do. Destitute of an honest heart. Then said Mr. Carl Security, why? Godly fear says, nay, pray interrupt me not. It is true that the talent of man's soul is strong and with a proviso impregnable. But you, the talent, have weakened it and it now lies obnoxious to its foes. Nor is it a time to flatter or be silent. It is you, Mr. Carnal Security, that have wildly stripped man's soul and driven her glory from her. You have pulled down her towers. You have broken down her gates. You have spoiled her locks and bars. And now, to explain myself, from that time that my lords of man's soul and you, sir, grew so great, from that time, the strength of man's soul has been offended and now is arisen and gone. If any shall question the truth of my words, I will answer him by this and like such questions. Where is the Prince in man? When did a man or a woman in man's soul see him? When did you hear from him or taste any of his dainty bits? You are now a feasting with this diabolian monster, but he is not your prince. I say, therefore, though enemies from without, had you taken heed, though enemies from without could not have made a prey of you, yet since you have sinned against your prince, your enemies within have been too hard for you. Then said Carnal Security, fie, fie, Mr. Godly Fear, fie. Will you never shake off your timorousness? Are you afraid of being sparrow-blasted? Who have hurt you? Behold, I am on your side. Only you are for doubting, and I'm for being confident. Besides, is this a time to be sad in? A feast is made for mirth. Why then do you now, to your shame and our trouble, break into such passionate, melancholy language when you should eat and drink and be merry? Well, I tell you, there's a description of most so-called ministers today would make a defense. They would take the very words of Mr. Carnal Security for a defense for their churchianity. Why do you want to come in here with a long face? Why do you want to come in here somber? Why do you want to be so sad and melancholy? Man, it's time to be happy. Eat, drink, be merry. Let's charge this thing up. Let's don't be dwelling on all these old melancholy subjects. That sounds like a defense of most preachers today for the goings-on in their churches. But it's the argument that Carnal Security makes. It is a beautiful picture in our version of this holy war, this drawing, this sketch of Mr. Godly Fear sitting at the table with all of these reveling fools from man's soul, led on to their reveling by Mr. Carnal Security. It's a beautiful picture. Unfortunately, it's a very accurate picture. I think most all of us have been there. We have been there. And the only voice that has any to naysay our doings is the voice of Mr. Godly Fear. And we despise him and despise him for his voice. as did Mr. Call Security, and we concern ourselves with why he even bothers us with all this talk. I hope I'm not the only one here that has to testify, but I may be, that I understand this scene far too well. I've been there far too often. How do you get from where they were to where this scene we're reading today? Simple answer. Carnal security. Carnal security. We really have convinced ourselves that all is well. All is well with our soul. All is well with the Lord. All is well in our lives. We're content. Because we're content, we allow ourselves to indulge the world. We're going to stop right there because I have other things we need to do. But I would like for you to share any testimony or any question, comment that you would have on this reading today. It's not a long reading, but I can assure you it is a subject that warrants you giving a great deal of thought to. The in and outs of the workings of Mr. Carnal Security and how it affects godly fear. Any comments? Yeah. That's interesting, isn't it? That's interesting. What does the artist intend to say? Limited sight? Well, I don't know. It's a good question. Is this, should Mr. Godly Fear have been there? Should godly fear ever be brought to a table of drunken reveling with carnal security? When you put it that way, the answer seems pretty obvious. But he didn't come to declare himself against them. The impression is that he came on the invitation, with no intention of disrupting it, particularly. He just came. He was invited. And in fact, Bunyan has him in his mouth, from his mouth say, I do thank you for all things courteous and civil. So it's as if he came willingly just out of civility, responding civilly to an invitation to a party. I don't think you can separate those two things. I don't think you can ask the question, should he have come in all or should he have come, what was the other thing you said? The way he came. The way he came. I can't separate the two because he came the way he came. To come at all, he came the way he came. So, you can't really make that two questions. You can make the one question, should he have come? Well, I think the implication is that if they knew that he would have come with that intent, he wouldn't have been invited again. He would have never been invited. It's an interesting question. What say you, John? Right, right. Not a physical bit. He's there. He's there in itself. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. This is an allegory after all. It's an allegory of the heart. Mr. God of Fear is that. So it's a sense in which it wasn't possible that he wouldn't be there. But he did bid him to the feast. I guess that's where I was rereading it. He did bid him to the feast. In other words, he was invited to the feast. Of course, he may have already been there, you might say, with John's point. He was already there. They just bid him to feast with them. Well, it is, as I say, an allegory. But, now, to go back to the question, to the intent of the question anyway, should a Christian, having Mr. Godly Fear in his heart, should he willingly put himself in a place where Mr. Godly Fear is going to be exposed to these elements? No, of course he should not. That will happen enough within our own hearts. We don't have to go out and solicit any help with that. It's a deplorable situation. But thank God that in the situation, as you say, as you pointed out, Mr. Godly Fear did speak out. He did not sit silently. He didn't just sip on his cordial and mind his own business. He did speak out. Thank God for that. Yes, when the opportunity set itself before him, he took full advantage of it. As will happen in the heart of a true believer. If Mr. Godly Fear actually lives there, it isn't possible he's going to keep his mouth shut. I can promise you that. He is going to speak out right when you don't want him. Yes, and when? Yes, and when? Yeah. Right, right. That is the external principle that can be applied. Revenue. Because a wedding is an ordinance ordained of God. I mean, at that point, right, that's the point you're making. Loosely used. It is brought us. Well, then there are so many other scriptures that apply for us. You know, we're to avoid the appearance of evil. The appearance of evil. There's another text, which Bunyan didn't bring to this, because he couldn't, as you said. These are all goings on within the heart. These things can't be separated physically, because they're all in the same heart. But if we want to talk about what John has called external standards, applications, then we get into all this other discussion. But as I say, if we get into that discussion, we'll have to bring to bear some other scriptures that aren't related here, that like abstained appearance, etc. Those bring to the table a whole different set of standards and requirements. Any further controversy? Aspect, yeah, it's a fellowship discussion. Yeah, it's important. Well, now we have this phrase in our Baptist confession, you know, we have this liberty of conscience thing that our confession does address. The things are different, yeah. But yeah, exactly. I was going to say, these things are indifferent. We ought to be very sure they are, in fact, indifferent. They're not. Because we might want to call some things indifferent that really aren't indifferent at all. Yeah. Yeah, there is that. It's a very good discussion. Old Bunyan brings it right down there to us, doesn't he? Well, let's pray together right quick, and then I'll share something with you here from Michigan.